Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Friday. This is the Brother Nate with the Church of Christ, the Life Message, on a broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, we'll pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, I do my best and the Lord Jesus asks for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you who don't like giving your prayer requests or your questions over there, contact me, NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, I will get back to you as well. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the blessed word of God today. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to do, and we thank you for the presence of your spirit. So, dear Lord, we ask for the grace of God this day and for your spirit to release in our hearts the revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word. Father, I pray that everyone that is seeking your face shall find it. I pray, Lord God, that you reveal yourself unto them more. And Father, I pray that minds will be open, hearts will be open to this message today. And Lord, I give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I want to continue on today, the 5th Century Church Persecution Part 2. Last Friday, I did Part 1. And today, I want to read something, and I want to read even examples of the modern-day persecution today. But I want to start off reading something from the Christian Martyrs of the World book. And, you know, sometimes some books do have recording of certain things that, you know, maybe not be as accurate as they should. And I'm going to explain to you what I mean. And the reason why I'm explaining is because this is going to lead me into, if the Lord say the same, next Friday, I'm going to go into concerning the 6th century. And if the Lord say the same, this is going to go into something deep, because it's going to be talking about the church that persecuted the true Christians. Now, I want to read something here from, this is the Christian Martyrs of the World book that I've been reading you, some examples of Christians being persecuted. And, you know, there was one thing before about Constantine that they said that I had to disagree with. Like I said, some books in their recordings, you know, sometimes they have certain things that may be inaccurate, okay? And I'm going to explain to you what I mean when I read this. I'm going to read, and I'm going to tell you how this is going to tie into what I'm going to go into, Lord say the same, starting next week. It says, Rome sacked by the Vandals, A.D. 455. Now, if I go any further, we know that from Paul's writings to the Christians, or to, we know as the book of Romans in the Bible, there was, he was writing to Christians in Rome. So there were some Christians in Rome, okay? And so here it says, Genseric, with his horde of Vandals, fresh from the conquest of the Roman provinces in Africa, was the next assailant of the doomed city. He would take no ransom, but turn his wild followers loose to plunder for themselves. For 14 days, they pillaged Rome, stripping churches and palaces alike and putting all their booty on ships to be carried back to Africa. The golden candlestick and table for showbread from the temple at Jerusalem were among the priceless treasures lost through these barbarous and greedy destroyers, okay? No less than 60,000 captives were also carried away into dreadful bondage. This was the most terrible calamity that Rome, once the queen of cities, had ever suffered from, and a few years later, she fell with the whole empire of the West and became subject to successful kings or emperors who were merely the victorious leaders of invading armies of Germans, Goths, and Gauls. This dark age for the great empire, which had once ruled the world, lasted over three centuries. But in the year 800, Charles the Great of France was chosen emperor according to the old form, and from that time there arose again the empire of the West. But it was no longer as an imperial city, but as the home and central site of the Christian church, that Rome was again to dominate the world. The time was to come when the bishops of Rome or popes would direct from the papal palace all the affairs of the church in every part of the world. For centuries, they were a power for good, directing with matchless ability noble hands of missionaries who carried Christianity to every country in the known world. But with increased strength came worldly pomp. They lived like princes and came at last to claim not only control over the souls, consciences of men, but authority to rule their every act as well. They sought not only to direct the affairs of the church, but they governed the nations of the earth. The popes who came to wield this enormous power were naturally no longer holy men, self-denying, poor, and persecuted, but were rich, arrogant nobles. Many of them were cruel, greedy of gain, and luxurious, hurling against rebellious sovereigns the awful curse of Rome and dooming thousands of better men than themselves to the rack or the flames. But it was not yet time to leave the history of the early pagan persecution, an age when heathen foes without and fervent faith within kept the Christians' ranks filled with an earnest band of workers. Men and women there were pure in doctrine and in morals, who were ready, even eager, to endure any hardship or, if need be, to suffer martyrdom for the faith they loved. Now, I was reading to you here, and it talks about how that the Vandals came and they pillaged Rome, and how that the golden candlesticks, the table showbread from the temple at Jerusalem were among the priceless treasures lost through these barbarous and greedy destroyers. So they said that they even went into the temple stealing, okay? And, you know, we'll later understand that the temple came down sometime later. But what I wanted to get over to you is how that in this, if I can call it recording or whatever, that it said that, I think it's the year 800, it said Charles the Great of France was a chosen emperor according to the old form. And from that time, there arose again the Empire of the West, talking about Rome. But it was no longer as an imperial city, but as the home and central state of the Christian church, that Rome was again to dominate the world. The time was to come when the bishops of Rome or popes would direct from the papal palace all the affairs of the church in every part of the world. For centuries, they were a power for good. Now, when they said that, it's recorded here that the bishops was to direct in all the affairs of dealing with the church and stuff like that. And they was good. For centuries, they were a power for good. I don't agree with that completely, because for the simple fact that we know that Jesus, even in his time, who talked about Rome itself, Rome
and those that was in rulership at the time that he mentioned in Matthew 11 was the Roman Empire that was, you know, he said the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violence taken by force, and the Roman Empire was that violent, okay? Hallelujah. And I come to understand that when it's connected with popes and all this stuff, and they're talking about the popes leading or directing the Christian church, understand this, it is their brand of Christianity, okay? This is why I'm saying this, too, is because the next thing, and I'm going to say Lord Save Saint, probably starting next Friday, as I go into the 6th century, where the church was taken control by Rome totally, where the church was destroyed. And I'm talking about the church Christ established, okay? And for us to look at that, we will have to talk about the one who took control of the church, which is the papacy, the popes, the papacy, okay, that took over and persecuted the true Christians and took over the church. And so it's just like today, people are calling the Roman Catholic Church a Christian organization. It's a Christian, and even the Roman Catholic Church has said that the church that Christ set up was not destroyed, it continued with them. And there is no way possible that is, because their teaching and their doctrines is contrary to the fullest power to the doctrine of Christ, okay? Hallelujah. And so when it talks about here that for centuries there, they were a power for good, okay? Talking about these, or what he said, the bishops or popes who were directed from the papal office, palace, all the affairs of the church in every part of the world. It said that they, for centuries they were half for good. I cannot totally agree with that, okay? And it goes on to say that, you know, they got to a point, now it's talking about how they became, you know, quote, evil, and how they became, they had such enormous power that it said they were no longer holy or self-denying or poor or persecuted, but they was rich, arrogant nobles. And that is true. These popes, about the popes, the popes were rich, arrogant nobles, okay? Very arrogant. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. And like I said, I'm reading this to you guys, and I ask that you all pray for me because, and I want to say this, as I go on a little bit more, I want to come with scripture to you and then also read some modern-day persecution. I want to say this, that when you get into what happened to the church in the 6th century, because Rome gained control of the church in 570 A.D., you have to talk about the persecution, and you have to talk about the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the reason why I'm calling on you believers to pray for me, because Satan has such a stronghold on the Roman Catholic Church, and is operating through the Roman Catholic Church so strong that when you expose the hidden darkness of the church, you draw satanic fire, okay? Now, I'm not saying this to be, quote, scared and stuff like that. I'm just saying that I can take all the prayers of the saints that you want to give, okay? But I know this much. At some point, it has to be talked about. It has to be talked about, people. You know, Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 5, and this is what he said that goes to us as believers today. He said, "Bless are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, Remember, Paul told Timothy, all that live godly, yea, they will suffer persecution. Okay? So the 5th century church faced persecution, okay, for righteousness' sake. And this is the word to go throughout all the generations coming up to the final return of Christ. And if all the other generation of Christians suffered persecution for righteousness' sake, then that means we're going to suffer persecution for righteousness' sake. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He goes on to say, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, Jesus said, when men revile us and persecute us and say all manner of evil against us falsely, Jesus said we are blessed. Now, of course, I know it don't feel like you're blessed. And I can imagine some of the Christians in the 5th century church more or less may have not been feeling like they're blessed. But Jesus said that they also persecuted the prophets. Okay? Amen. And so Jesus let us know that, hey, if we're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, and we're having all kind of evil spoken against us falsely, he said that we're blessed. Now, one of the key things is that Jesus said falsely. You know, you got some people going out there and just doing stuff they got no business doing and drawing a slapback from it, and they're talking about, oh, they're just persecuting me. No, because Jesus said falsely, okay? Amen. Falsely. He said we are blessed. And so they were persecuted in the 5th century, and many are persecuted today. As I get ready to read more modern-day persecution, I still want to say this, that when you talk about the church that Christ established was destroyed, you cannot talk about it without talking about the Roman Catholic Church involvement. Or let me put it to you more in fine. You cannot truthfully or fully talk about it without talking about the Roman Catholic Church involvement. Now, we got some Christians out there that's telling you guys. And then we got some other Christians who wants to be hush-hush. Okay? Okay, now, I'm here to say this. My name is Brother Nate. And Brother Nate is not the greatest guy in this world. Not the smartest. I'm just a child of the King. And he has called me to give you guys the word, teaching and preaching the word, and even to deal with some hard subjects. And I know that in talking about the Roman Catholic Church and giving you guys the truthfulness about it, and perhaps getting into the wrong doctrine about it, should draw prayers from you guys for me, okay? Because the Roman Catholic Church is the church of the enemy, point blank, period, okay? It's the church of the enemy, okay? Amen. I want to read to you from also a modern-day persecution thing. But before I read that, I want to read from John chapter 16, verse 33, the last verse in that 16th chapter of John. And listen, people, I want you to understand something. I'm not talking to you guys about this persecution to scare you. I just want to make that clear off the bat, you know, because I know that it's very easy to happen, to hear, you know, how, you know, say I've been doing these past few broadcasts on different persecution in different centuries, and I know that much of what you guys heard that I read to you wasn't good at all. You know, some of the stuff will even possibly make you cringe. But my intention was not to scare you, okay? My intention was not to make you just say, shoot, forget this and give up. My intention, number one, was to inform you, okay, and to move you to get ready. Because remember in those persecutions I read to you how that the true Christians by faith stood, even though they was in the face of threats and death and all that. They were so strong in the faith that they didn't waver. And one of the things I can honestly say, by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would cause you to be brave and firm. And I don't care what man would threaten you with or come to you, you wouldn't shake. You know, a lot of times we think, and let's be honest, when we hear persecution and we hear and read what was done to the early Christians, we just think about what? Pain. And that's natural, okay? That's natural. I mean, let's be real. That's natural. You know, that's going to come to your mind, ooh, the pain from them doing this and that, it's going to hurt, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I think, too, sometimes it's hard for our minds to accept the fact that you can be so strong in the faith, I don't care what you threaten with, you won't flinch. And I think that that's a struggle for some of us in the Christian faith to actually believe that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will sustain you even during persecution. Well, let's put it this way. Even during the highest level of persecution. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, Jesus said, in him we shall have peace. In the world, he said, in the world, we're going to have tribulation, okay? But be of good cheer, he have overcome the world, okay? Well, why would he have to tell us that? Because if Jesus hadn't overcome the world, you know, then we wouldn't stand a chance. And see, now, remember, as a believer, you have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you that will help you to overcome. But see, if Jesus would have failed to overcome the world, then you know there was no hope or chance would be for us. But he's telling us, he said, there's a hope and a chance that you can come out of this. You will survive. You overcome it. Okay? Why? Because I did. And my spirit is in you. Now, I want to read to you a modern-day persecution. And this comes from the Voice of the Martyr book. This is in Nepal, the country of Nepal, titled Emerging from the Communist Underground. Now, it emerging from the Communist Underground. It says, as a teenager living in Nepal. Now, when I read to you guys about these different countries, I'm giving you also who to pray for. Who to pray for. It said, as a teenager living in Nepal in the late 1970s, Shankar was committed pursuing a life of meaning. He studied Sanskrit, which is considered the sacred language of Hinduism, and meditated on Hindu texts day and night. But over time, he found it all meaningless and was inspired by some communist friends to become an atheist. Shankar then began training in the martial arts. When he failed to achieve his double black belt, However, he decided to look elsewhere for significance. Then one day, a man came to his door and invited Shankar, who was 18 at the time, to join a growing radical communist movement. When he agreed, the man handed him a form to complete. "I filled out the form and it was taken to China for underground training," Shankar said. To avoid being tracked, Shankar was escorted across the border into China on foot instead of by airplane or bus. The multi-day trek ended deep inside China when Shankar learned that he had been recruited because of his training in martial arts and his father's role as an armorer in Nepal's military. "I knew how to make weapons, so I was one of the teachers for them," Shankar said. "After 3 months, I was made captain of that group." Shankar trained communist recruits for nearly 7 years before returning home to care for his aging parents. Back in Nepal, he served as a lead underground trainer for the communists in Kathmandu. Every night from midnight to 3 a.m., he taught skills such as how to evade arrest, steal motorcycles. He even trained students to shoot and kill fellow communists who had been arrested so they could not be detained and interrogated. "This was the beginning of the underground communist movement of Nepal," he said. "I was training them to be guerrillas." Okay. It says, one morning after an all-night training session, Shankar sat down with some friends at a public park. As they talked, three men approached and sat down near them. One of the men had a guitar and another had a bag full of printed leaflets. As the man with the guitar began playing and singing a Christian hymn, the other man walked up to Shankar and handed him a gospel tract. "Here, you should read this," he told Shankar. "God loves you." Shankar grabbed the tract, tore it up, and threw it in the air. He considered Christianity to be poison in Nepal. The man gave Shankar another tract, and he tore that one up too. To Shankar's disbelief, the man then tried to hand him a third tract. "Then I thought, this guy's really mocking me," Shankar said. "So I slapped him 3 or 4 times on his cheek." The evangelist immediately gathered with his friends and prayed. Then he returned with a fistful of tracts, stuffed them in Shankar's pocket, and ran away. Wow. Shankar took off after him. "I was so angry at him," he said. "I thought if I ever catch him, I would beat him bad." Shankar lost track of the man when he crossed a busy highway. And when Shankar returned to his friends, one of them joked that he should check his pockets to see if the man planted a bomb in his shirt. Shankar pulled the wad of tracks from his pocket and threw them to the ground. When he returned home that evening, he noticed something in one of his pockets. "I thought my pocket was empty," he said. "But when I put my hands aside, there was still one gospel tract in there. I wondered if it was a bomb, and it was a spiritual bomb that changed my life." Now, it goes on to say, Shankar finally decided to read the tract. And after reading only part of it, he began to feel convicted of the sin in his life. "I had caught so many people. I had killed so many people," he said. "I knew that I was the worst sinner in the world. I wanted to find a way to get out from this sin." Around the same time, Shankar's mother, who struggled with mental health problems, attempted to take her own life. Just desperate to help her, Shankar read through the tract again. This time, he noticed a reference to Mark 16:16-18, which addressed faith in Christ and healing. He decided to seek help from believers if he could find any. Soon, Shankar met two Christians from the Netherlands on the street. When he told them his story and shared his concern for his mother's health, the men offered to visit his mother and pray for her, requesting only a place to sleep. After 20 days of prayer, Shankar's mom improved significantly. Look at the power of God, people. "When I saw my mom was healed, I was very happy," he said. "Even though I was an atheist, I decided to read that gospel tract again. At the back of the gospel track, there was an address. I wrote the office, and they continue to send me more gospel tracks." Okay? So this man, Shankar, was an atheist, into the communism, into the martial arts. And it's amazing. I think about the Christian who went to give him a track, you know, Shankar tear it up. He gave him another one, Shankar tear it up. And what, he was going to give him a third one, Shankar slapped him three times. And then the man run up to him and stuff a bunch of tracks, gospel tracks in his pocket, and take off. And Shankar chasing him, but never could catch him. And just when he thought he threw all the gospel tracks away, one was still left. And notice he said he became convicted. Now, he was on the side of a persecutor at first, persecuting the Christian, because he thought that the Christianity were weak. But notice, when the word of God was given, he was convicted. Let me tell you something. I pray y'all hear this. They're going to be Christians, even though while being persecuted, it's still going to give the word that's going to convict the persecutor. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? Listen, for those of you that's listening in other countries that are Christian and you suffering persecution, don't continue to hold to the word of God. One of those persecutors, you're going to give them the word and it's going to convict them. Okay? They might, when you first give it to them, tear it up, or you stuffing it in their pocket, they might chase you, can't get you, but sooner or later, they're going to read that thing, and that word is going to get them. I just look at the perseverance of that Christian getting that track to Shankar. You know, even though he know this man was against the Lord and all that, he still persisted. Amen? Still persisted to get that word to Shankar, who was an atheist. Okay? He had to make sure, I commend that Christian to do what he did in persecuting, persevering in giving that word despite being slapped and now being chased, you know. Amen. Man, the love of God, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, still on this about Shankar. Now, Shankar, it says here, now, after his mom was healed, he was happy. And he wrote to the address on one of the tracks to get more gospel tracks. So he's reading it. And it says, though he hadn't placed his faith in Christ yet, Shankar couldn't keep the word, couldn't keep the good news that he had read about and experienced to himself. He took all the tracks he had received and distributed them to other villages. If you are sick, he told them, read this and you will be healed. My mom is a living testimony. She was sick, and now she is healed. Don't throw this gospel away. After Shankar distributed tracts, some villagers began gathering for prayers. One day, the Dutch missionaries met. Let's see. Turn the page here. Some Dutch missionaries met with them and helped lead 8 people to Christ. That day in 1986, he also placed his faith in Christ, and he and the other Christians soon formed a church. Now, that's amazing, ain't it? An atheist who was into Hinduism and the martial arts, because Hinduism, martial arts carries Hinduism in it, and willing to, and was so strong and firm against a Christian that he's chasing one to do some bodily harm to him and couldn't catch him. And now guess what? Now he didn't got converted. Wow. Some of Shankar's communist friends tried to persuade him to return to their group, but he refused. No, I would never, he told them. There is no chance I will rejoin the party, but you can come to church. If I join the party, I would get death. But if you come to church, you would get life. Did you hear that? Look at this, people. This is an example of a persecutor getting converted. And not only did he get converted, but he was firm in his conversion. Even when his old friends tried to get him to come back, he said, no, never. You know, some people, when they first come to Christ, they still have that struggle with that. Now, I'm not saying when you first come to Christ, everything is smooth and you don't make a mistake. I'm not saying that. But for the most Christians who first come to Christ, out of something or away from a certain group they used to hang with, stuff like that, sometimes when that old group flare up and say, oh, come on, man, come on back with us, man, we miss you, blah, 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 sometimes it kind of weigh on that new Christian, and sometimes they have somewhat to struggle. Some of them end up going back. Some of them, it's a big struggle and have to have real continuous prayer. But this guy, Shankar, once he came to Jesus, even though his friends came at him, say, hey, man, come back and join us, and blah, 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 and all that, he said no. He said no. And look at how the word of God was given. And through this gospel tract, and you had an atheist who was reading it, whose mother got healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, people. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. I wanted to do this today because, you know, like I said, when you're dealing with the 6th century church, you can't talk about it without, you know, when it went down, the Roman Catholic Church persecuted. You can't talk about it without that. And so I see that's where I am heading into. You guys pray for me. But I got to come to you with the word of God. I got to come to you with the word of God, people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the blessed word of truth. And we thank you for this day you've made and created. Father, we ask that you will bless us. Keep us in the name of Jesus. Bless us all today, Lord God. I thank you for this opportunity to present this message, your word, to the people. And Lord, I give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I thank God today for the word of God. I thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same tomorrow. We have a broadcast tomorrow night. Brother Eddie Lee, the full gospel message with Brother Eddie Lee. Look for it tomorrow night. So this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.